Another batch of COVID-19 vaccines from China's Sinovac arrives in Manila. President Rodrigo Duterte again thanks China for its COVID-19 aid, but insists Manila's claim to the West Philippine Sea cannot be bargained. Metro Manila and several provinces to remain under the second most stringent quarantine level until May 14. Metro Manila Development Authority Chairman Bender Abalos will join us later for a discussion on this. And a teachers group calls on Malacañang to reallocate the budget of the controversial anti-communist task force to education. We'll talk to the Alliance of Concerned Teachers Secretary General Raymond Basilio about this. That's going to happen later on in the program. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hi, thanks for joining us. And for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, nice to have you with us today. More COVID-19 vaccines from China have arrived in the Philippines. That's amid the maritime row between the two countries. Some 500,000 Sinovac doses arrived in Manila Thursday morning, bringing this month's total delivery to 1.5 million. The latest shipment raises the country's vaccine stock to over 4 million. More than 1.8 million of the doses have already been administered. Philippine Ambassador to China, Chito Santa Romana, says another 500,000 Sinovac doses will arrive tomorrow, Friday, while 2 million more will be delivered next month, this time according to Chinese Ambassador Wang Qilian. The vaccines from Beijing arrived amid the ongoing tit-for-tat between top Philippine and Chinese officials over the two nations' dispute in the West Philippine Sea. In his speech Wednesday night, President Rodrigo Duterte says, while the Philippines holds a debt of gratitude for Chinese aid, Manila's territorial waters cannot be bargained. Duterte says he is grateful for the 1 million COVID-19 vaccine doses donated by China, but he insists he will not order Philippine ships away from the West Philippine Sea.
I'm stating it for the record. We do not want war with China. China is a good friend. Mayroon tayong utang na loob na marami, pati yung bakuna natin. But there are things which are not really subject to a compromise. Sana they will understand. But I have the interest of my country also to protect. Kung paalisin tayo ng ganun lang, umalis kayo. Huwag kayong umalis. Bakit kayo umalis dyan? Atin yan.
The National Task Force of the West Philippine Sea says three Chinese vessels are still inside Bajo de Masinloc, while two others remain in the waters of Kalayaan in Palawan and Ayungin Shoal. This despite several diplomatic protests filed by Manila. The Bureau of Philippine Fisheries and Aquatic Resources, or BFAR, urging the Philippine government to protect fishermen in the West Philippine Sea. That's following the agency's call for Filipino fishermen to swarm the area to assert the country's rights over its exclusive economic zone. BFAR Director Eduardo Gongona says Filipino fishermen should not abandon the area despite cases of bullying by the Chinese Coast Guard.
We are just emphasizing that that is our traditional fishing ground. So we must be fishing there. And the Coast Guard and the BFAR, the ship should be there to protect the fishermen, protect the fishing vessels, and protect the environment that produces food for us.
According to Gongona, the West Philippine Sea yields more than 300,000 metric tons of fish, or 7% of the country's fish supply annually. Metro Manila and four neighboring provinces will remain under the second most stringent quarantine level until May 14. President Rodrigo Duterte announced the extension of the modified enhanced community quarantine Wednesday night. The order also covers Santiago City in Quirino and the province of Abra. Baguio City, Cagayan, Batangas, Davao City, and several other areas will be under the least stringent general community quarantine. The rest of the country remains under the loosest form of the lockdown, the modified general community quarantine. President Rodrigo Duterte says he based his decision on the advice of his medical advisors.
Mga kababayan ko, naghihingi lang ako sa inyo ng paumanhin. I'm sorry that I have to impose a longer itong modified enhanced community kasi kailangan nag-spike tumaas yung infections at yung hospital natin puno. Kaya ho nga sana wang inyong dagdagan. Alam ko na galit kayo. Magalit na lang kayo sa akin kasi wala man talaga akong magawa. Iyang virus na yan lumilipad yan sa hangin.
The country's COVID-19 task force set to release a list of industries that can stay open during MECQ. Metro Manila mayors earlier said while they are in favor of extending the modified lockdown, they also want more establishments to be allowed to operate to avoid further economic losses.
Na-realize naman natin na napakatinding kahirapan ang diludulot itong lockdown neto. At importante na kung ano pa yung ibang pwedeng mga negosyo na mabubuksan, ay pabuksan na natin. Isa sa pinalpulian mamaya.
The Philippine Trade and Industry Department, meanwhile, wants indoor dining allowed under the extended MECQ. DTI Undersecretary Ruth Castello says the agency proposed the resumption of dining services at a limited capacity to the interagency task force. That's despite warnings from some health experts that it isn't safe yet.
According to Secretary Lopez, for indoor dining, siguro kahit mga 10%, kahit po maliit lang, or maybe basta po bahala sila sa IETF, ilangan yung kanilang diagonal seating and then yung 1 meter physical distance from yung one seat to another, pati yung mga pag-provide nila ng sanitation devices, whether alcohol or alcohol or ganyan. And then the distance also ng mga servers nila, food service. And of course, yung pagsuot ng face mask at face shield.
Castello adds that the DTI proposed the resumption of personal care establishments such as salons and spas.
And then for salons and barbershops, kahit po mag 50%. And then we're also recommending yung outdoor services ng personal care. Pwede po ang mga barbershops, maglagay sila ng outdoor space nila para pati ang salons, doon sila magugupit sa labas ng salon basta meron silang space para po sa ventilation din.
And we have this just in. Presidential spokesman Harry Roque said dine-ins are not yet allowed. For more on the MECQ extension, we're now joined by Metro Manila Development Authority Chairman Benher Avalos. Welcome to the program, Chairman. Nice to have you with us again today.
Good afternoon, Ms. Constantino, and all to all the viewers. Good afternoon.
How are you po? Kamusta po kayo?
Medyo pagod ng konti, pero okay naman.
All right. The past few days, a lot of meetings have happened, but we now have heard it from the president. MECQ will be extended, but the mayors want it to be more flexible. Why do you think, why was this the safest way to both safeguard the public health and also the economy's health, Chairman?
Well, it's more of finding the middle ground, Karina. Of course, the health experts do not want the virus to spread. They're very careful. They want extended MECQ. On the other hand, we have got the economic team. There are a lot of unemployment, a lot of people getting hungry, and this could be seen by these community pantries. So we have to have a middle ground. So what does it mean? We get the best characteristic of a GCQ and the best characteristic of an MECQ. So in a GCQ, you have to need additional businesses. So that is what DTI is doing right now. Going through the list of prohibited activities or even businesses under an ECQ and probably try to open them with certain conditions. On the other hand, we still need strict border patrols. What I mean is within the periphery of the bubble, which is Rizal, Bulacan, Laguna, and Cavite, there should be no travel outside of the bubble and into the bubble. That should always be maintained. Because if you're going through GCQ, wow, you could just imagine mga tao labas pasok na dito. No? Oh. So we can't have interzonal travel. So that is why it's flexible. We call it MECQ flexible. So it's more flexible in terms of businesses, but at the same time, you're very strict with the border controls.
Okay, let's go into the list of businesses now that are being proposed to be reopened. Based on your observations and the past, you know, the past couple of weeks or so, what should these businesses be that are safe to be reopened, but also enough so that, you know, the economy will gain some traction, Chairman?
Well, we really have to review, like for example, before we have al fresco dining, no? But right now, we could have al fresco personal care, like, you know, yung mga barbero, the barbershops, di ba? I mean, I'm talking of the masses here. Pwede naman siguro, even the LGU could buy the place na open, dun na lang magpagupit. Mga manicurista, these kind of things. Now, basta control, there are certain conditions. Even construction, before what was allowed was just national government projects for construction and large private infrastructures. But right now, probably with certain protocols, health protocols, constructions could be allowed. No? And the third, I was asking during the IATF, I also raised this about dine-in. Because as far as I'm concerned, as far as, you know, the experts will tell us what is safe and what is not safe. But if you've got adequate ventilation, you've got windows, you've got HEPA filters, and you only get to get, let's say, 10%.
Yeah.
You know, 10%. So with this kind of conditions, what are the conditions that could really have to be met in order for diners to be safe? If they will tell us that these are the conditions that should be met, well, at least businessmen would have a guide. But you know what, Karina? We are now in the new normal, whether we like it or not.
Yeah.
I'm from Mandaluyong. My wife is the mayor there. Right now, we are trying to pinpoint certain open spaces to help those in the restaurant, like the one along the Pasig River. We've got some area there. And these small businesses, they came to us. We're going to let them use these spaces.
Chairman, sorry to cut you there, but I do remember a point in our previous discussion when we were talking about urban renewal. That's also part of the mandate of the MMDA.
Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it looks like this is the perfect opportunity to do just that.
Precisely, Karina, you know, this pandemic has opened our eyes. We must look at other things because it will stay here for the next several months, probably. LGUs could look for spaces, work with certain businessmen, and probably just from here, try to revive business. On the other hand of the malls, what we could probably even do right now is have guidelines. What are the proper equipments here that we need? So that, it's a good project of Secretary Mon that he'll have this seal of good standing. It's just like going to a restaurant. If it has a good seal, you put it there. It's safe to eat there, etc. Because this restaurant has complied with all the safety requirements of the DOH. Well, so it's just looking forward. But you're very right. Right now, we have just launched this bike. We're now coordinating with DOTR and DPWH these bike lanes right now. You will see them popping up. No? Why? It's because of this pandemic. That's why it's mobility. And we have also launched this greening of Metro Manila the trees that we're going to plant all over. Why? It's all about immunity of people here. No, so it has really brought out so many things right now. Yeah.
And Chairman, when you talk about mobility and when you talk about, you know, reopening these businesses, you want people to feel safe when they do patronize all these businesses. And one way of doing that, some would say, is to prioritize the transport sector in the vaccination rollout. We saw this in Singapore. We saw this in other countries as well. The transport sector has been prioritized, and this has safely ferried people from places, from point to point. Chairman, your thoughts on that?
Well, alam mo, tama ka, no, Karina. That's why the DOPR is on top of this. To be safe, there should be distancing within the vehicle itself, no? Yung tamang espasyo, tapos every time, inaano mo ito, sinasanitize mo ito. But it's also about time for us to look at other forms of travel. We've looked at the mass transport, LRT, MRT, the bus carousel. Pero of course, hindi na ganun kadami dahil talagang big espasyo niyan eh. Ayusin mo. But now, MMDA, we're going to launch this again. It's the ferry, it's the Pasig River. Now we're going to use the wake use of the river, of course, from Intramuros to Rizal, and then all the way the Pasig River, and then probably go to Marikina to Rizal, and on the other way, go to Cardona, Rizal. We're going to make use of this so that people's mobility. No? So
yeah, but what about prioritizing people in the transport sector to get bumped up in the vaccination rollout? Is that being talked about as well?
Yes, it's part of the priority. No, meron kami A1, A2, A3. The A1 will be the medical frontliners. Okay. The A2 will be the senior citizen. A3, persons with comorbidities. And then A4 will be our commercial frontliners. It's all there, Karina. It's on the program of the DOH.
Okay. Now, I want to talk about India. I was talking to Nabota City Mayor Toby Tanko a couple of days back, and this is his concern. And I understand that this is also the concern among mayors. What are you talking about in terms of the India experience? What needs to be done to make sure that the variant found in India won't find its way here the way the UK and the Brazil variants did?
Well, for one thing, we've met last night. And before that, the president has already ordered that there will be no flights coming in or to India right now. It's all closed. But sabi ko nga, itong classic incident ito, pwedeng mangyari ulit eh. It could happen to any country, to anyone. No? Number one, what is important is quarantine. It's quarantine. Because kung titignan mo talaga yung mutations ngayon, I was surprised to note before it was the UK variant. Now, I think it's the South African variant ang number one among the variants right now, as reported by the genealogy, no? And there will be other mutations, there will be other variants here. But the thing is, for me, to be really careful about quarantine. To be strict about quarantine, for that matter. Alam ko, medyo paubos ang resources ng gobyerno. Yung mga papasok dito, they should be quarantined strictly, no? To make sure that these variants, ibig sabihin talagang walang lagnat, walang ano, before you release them. Kasi dito nagsimula, I mean, let's face it, kaya nga UK variant, kaya nga ano, because they're named other countries. No? For me, that's one of the things that should really be focused on.
Okay, it's just as a final question. I mean, it was very, very obvious. The reason why we had that surge, and we continue to be sort of in the middle of that surge, is because we let our guard down. Some isolation facilities that were, you know, closed shop already. Quarantine facilities as well. You know, we were kind of complacent. And this is the lesson right here. Even if the downtrend is being seen right now, the putting up of quarantine facilities, isolation facilities, that should still continue. What is the MMDA going to do about this? Is there something in the program that you will be on top of specifically when it comes to, as you said, the need for quarantine and isolation facilities, Chair?
Well, alam mo, tama ka, Carmina. There are so many factors that led to the upsurge. One of the things, probably, we let our guard down. Kumampanti ang tao. Another thing could be because of this variant. if I will recall, the date was February 25. It was the time we were voting if it's GCQ or MGCQ. And the president said, no, you continue with this modified. But what happened? After 3 days, there was this Pasay incident. And we were perplexed why. It bubbles every day, the one in Pasay. After that, lahat ng katabi niya. And true enough, probably it's because of the variant. No? It could really happen. Anytime, it could really happen.
Exactly.
So we should really learn from this. All of these things that we're doing now should be documented and it should be institutionalized. Dapat hindi na mawala. Ito na ito eh. There should be an agency taking care of this. All of the good practices of the different agencies. There should be one agency taking care of all of these things. From detection, from testing, after testing to tracing, and then rehabilitation, to vaccination. Because this vaccination will be every year dahil marami ng mga batang iedad eh. No?
Apo.
Until such time. So, itong programa talagang dire-diretso na ito. And last night, maganda yung pinakita programa ni Secretary Charlie Galvez. No? He showed us the roadmap for the next 3 years, including probably of vaccination being produced in the country. No, yun ang maganda rin dito. Yes.
All right. We're going to have to leave it at that. We apologize. We've run out of time, but it's always nice talking to you. MMDA Chairman Benher Abalos, keep safe. Take care po.
Ingat thank you. Kayo. Thank you. Stay safe, Carmina. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. Moving on, the Philippines coronavirus death toll has surpassed 17,000. That's after 115 new fatalities were reported Wednesday. Health officials also announced over 6,800 new COVID-19 cases. They attribute the relatively low count to the low testing output of laboratories. Recoveries, meanwhile, rose by more than 10,000. The Opta Research Group hopes the additional 2 weeks of the MECQ and the NCR Plus bubble will help lower the country's daily COVID-19 case count.
As long as we're getting 2,800 cases per day, we are getting more hospital admissions than those who are discharged from the hospitals. But if it's less than 2,800, there are more people being discharged from hospitals compared to admissions.
Five more areas in Quezon City are placed under a special concern lockdown. The local government says affected residents will be provided with food packs. They will also undergo swab tests. Those that yield positive results will be isolated in the city's COVID-19 facilities. There are a total of 52 areas currently under lockdown in Quezon City. Latest data shows the city has 9,163 active coronavirus cases, with government hospitals make that reporting an 87 to 97% occupancy rate. Two House lawmakers begin distributing free ivermectin in Quezon City in the hopes of fighting COVID-19, despite warnings from health experts about the anti-parasitic drug. Our correspondent Sandro Ochona now joins us with more details. Sandro, what else can you tell us?
Yes, Carmina, at least 35 residents from Barangay Matandang Palara received free ivermectin capsules. This is an initiative from Anak Kalusugan Representative Mike Defensor and Sagip Representative Rodante Marcoleta. Residents who attended the event filled up a form which included information on their health and that they are aware of the effects of the drug. It also included a clause that they are foregoing the responsibility of the event organizers from accountability for dispensing ivermectin. Four doctors were present and prescribed the drug, including Dr. Alan Landrito and Dr. Iggy Agbayani. The two have been vocal in promoting the drug, which is registered in the Philippines for animal use. Matandang Balara Kagawa Jom Asilo said they approved the holding of the event based on the pronouncement by the FDA that ivermectin is allowed as long as doctors have prescribed it. Jerica Tumali, one of the residents whose mother died of possible COVID-19 complications, said she wanted to take ivermectin to prevent catching the deadly disease. Congressman Defensor said they are eyeing more barangays to visit in Quezon City for this initiative. Defensor also said he is confident that there will be no side effects as he has been taking it after getting sick from the coronavirus a few months back. Carmina?
All right, Isandro, let me ask you about the residents who were there and lined up for this ivermectin. Why were they there to begin with? How did they come to know the event? Would you know?
Actually, it was announced by the barangay about yesterday. And that particular barangay also is one of the barangays in Quezon City recording with a high number of COVID cases.
All right. Okay, interesting. We're going to have to leave it at that. Sandra Ochona there joining us on the line. Thanks, Sandra. Keep safe. Take care. Moving on, more private companies announced plans to vaccinate their employees against COVID-19 for free. SM Investments is rolling out its inoculation program to thousands of its employees within the year once supply is available. The Philippines' biggest conglomerate says the move is key to operating safely amid the pandemic and building confidence in the country's consumer-led economy. SM is also offering its facilities to local governments as vaccination venues. Meanwhile, Google will fund the vaccination of 250,000 people in several countries, including the Philippines. The tech giant says it's also committed to help build public trust in vaccines by promoting timely and trusted information on its search engine and on YouTube. As for ride-hailing app Grab, it has set up an initial $275 million fund to cover the inoculation of its drivers and delivery partners across Southeast Asia. Other firms that have announced their own free vaccination drives include the local units of BPO's Teleperformance and Accenture, as well as beverage giants Coca-Cola and Pepsi. Taiwan and the U.S. sending much-needed help to India as the South Asian country reached the grim milestone of 200,000 coronavirus deaths. Taiwan's foreign minister says they've purchased 150 oxygen concentrators, which they will send to India this weekend. An oxygen concentrator reduces the level of nitrogen from an air supply to produce oxygen-enriched air. The U.S., meanwhile, is sending supplies worth more than $100 million, including oxygen cylinders and 15 million N95 masks. The Indian capital of New Delhi has been reporting one COVID-19 death every 4 minutes. The last 24 hours brought a record 379,257 new cases, the world's largest single-day total, taking India's total number of infections to nearly 18.4 million. We'll take a break now. Coming up, we'll be talking to a local teachers group which wants the president to redirect funds from a controversial anti-communist task force to education. This and more on Dateline Philippines returns. Stay with us here on ANC. Back here still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. The Alliance of Concerned Teachers urges President Rodrigo Duterte to redirect the National Task Force to End Local Communist Armed Conflict's 19 billion peso budget to education. The group says Duterte can order Congress to hold an urgent special session to do this. ACT says the money will cover most of the funding needed to give teachers a monthly internet allowance and provide mobile internet to poor students. This comes as lawmakers from both houses of Congress threaten to defund the controversial task force for its red tagging of community pantry organizers. And we'll now speak to ACT Secretary General Raymond Basilio. Raymond, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you and good afternoon to our viewers for today's program.
You know, everyone seems to want a piece of the 19 billion peso budget of the NTF-LCAC. State your case for us. Why do you think it should be channeled to education? And what aspects? We mentioned earlier teachers' allowances and mobile internet. What else? Go ahead.
Well, as we continue to proceed with the distance learning program of the current government under the current health situation that we are facing, we see a lot of problems faced by the education sector, particularly with the internet connectivity, with the problems of gadgets, with the problems of availability of modules, and with the preparation of the resumption of in-classroom classes by next school year, we see that the 19 billion NTF fund can be used to address these issues of the education sector.
Alam mo, when we talk about the resumption of classes, we're not even sure if that's going to happen given the slow pace of the rollout. But by this time, the education department should already be preparing for the next school year. Even if this school year has yet to be done and dusted, what have you heard so far about the plans for school year 2021-2022?
Well, as announced the other day by the Education Department, they are planning to open the classes for the school year come August 23. And they mentioned that there could be what you call this in-classroom, limited in-classroom activities by the next school year. So as they speak about that, well, we want to know what are the preparations being done right now. There are a lot of reports coming in to our office that many schools still don't have water supply. Many schools still don't have sufficient hand washing facilities, and classrooms were not even retrofitted to make social distancing possible during classes. So that's why, as early as now, you're correct, we are calling that the Education Department should be starting the preparation work already.
Well, before we get into that, before we get into more of the prep work, it's going to start August 23, but wasn't this school year also extended to late July?
Yes, it is extended up to July 11. That's why we issued also a statement the other day. We are questioning the Department of Education why they are in a hurry to cut short the vacation break of our teachers. No, we are not yet done with the issues of overtime pay of our teachers with the extension of the current school year. And here comes another issue that they wanted to open the classes by August 23, cutting short the 80-day vacation break of our teachers to 59. So again, we are ready to serve, but please observe our rights. Observe the proper, labor rights that we are entitled to.
I mean, labor rights aside as well, I mean, we got to talk about this happening in the middle of a pandemic. That hasn't been fully addressed, or has it? Because if you end the school year by July, and then by the 23rd of August, you're going to reopen. And as you said, you have yet to hear about progress in retrofitting classrooms and making sure that these schools will be prepared to welcome students by the next school year. Having said all those, what do you think is the expected scenario for the next school year if all of these things are not addressed before school opens?
We will have the same problems that we are facing right now. No, we don't have sufficient facilities. It will increase. We might increase COVID-19 infection among our learners, among our teachers, among our education workers, if this prep work won't be addressed immediately by the Education Department. Currently, many of our teachers, around thousands of our teachers, were infected already by the COVID-19, and that's the problem of not of the Education Department not implementing enough health measures to protect our teachers. And as we speak, that on August 23, the new school year might open, and we still don't see any programs as to mass testing of teachers, as to creation of a health fund that will address the health needs of our teachers. So these are very important aspects of the preparation.
You know, when we talk about the next school year, I can't help but be reminded of how it was in the early days of the pandemic. You had teachers just scrambling to get their materials, make sure that, you know, their learners are well taught, even spending their own money. But if that happens again this school year, I mean, we had 1 year. Given that that happened in the early days of the pandemic, that was sort of understandable because no one knew what was happening, right? But if it happens again this school year, how would you describe that?
That would be very, very problematic because we're supposed to, supposedly we learned our lessons already. No? There are a lot of studies. In fact, our group, we provided a lot of data already to the education department and we provided them a lot of advices on how to proceed and what are the things that needs to be undertaken by the government. So supposedly, the next school year should be better. It should be better. Now, if we will have the same problem, then again, I think the education department should start thinking about how are they supposed to be learning from the experiences that we had this school year.
But shouldn't it be that at this point, in preparation for the next school year, that the education department should already be transparent in what is going to happen in the next school year? Pero meron ba kayong nababalitaan? Have they reached out? Have they laid out their plans for the next school year?
Yun po yung nakakatuwa kasi kami po ang accredited, sole and exclusive negotiating agent of the rank and file teaching personnel no of the education department. Pero wala po kaming natatanggap mula sa Department of Education. Kahit man po kami ay sulat ng sulat sa kanila, ang natatanggap lang po namin sa kanila ay this is to acknowledge receipt of your letter. And that's very problematic. The education department forgot to include stakeholders in their planning and in the execution of their plans.
If you are to share with us how these plans should look like from your own vantage point, maybe 3 points which would make the next school year successful and safe for both learners and teachers, what would those 3 points be? Go ahead.
Well, number one, there should be a comprehensive risk assessment of schools, identify the needs of the schools, and from there, we can look for solutions. Identify the schools from the low-risk areas that may conduct in-classroom learning and install the needed health mechanisms that we need. In particular, we need this sanitation, we have hand washing facilities, we need a water supply, we need comfort rooms. These are the very basics of operating a school. And lastly, we need the full funding of the education department. We need to make sure that we, as we implement in-classroom learning and if we continue with the distance learning program, make sure that modules are funded, internet accessibility is ensured, teachers and students are given the gadgets that they needed as they proceed with the distance learning program.
Finally, I want to talk about vaccinations now. Where are the teachers, Raymond, in the vaccination rollout? Because if we want to send our kids back to a safe environment for them to be able to continue to learn in a safe bubble by the opening of the next school year, the school personnel, the teachers, all that make up the school community, they're going to have to be vaccinated. Where are we in terms of that?
Well, right now we're happy that after we are listed to B1 last month, we are now moved to A4, and that means that we are now on the priority list of the government in the vaccination program. So, but the problem right now is the availability of vaccine. No, though we are now moved to A4. The problem is we still don't have any vaccine available in the country. And you're right. Our teachers are going throughout the community right now, trying to locate their students and trying to deliver the modules and retrieve the modules from them. And they still don't have this protection that we badly needed. So we reiterate our call to the national government to hasten the purchase of this vaccine so that our education frontline workers will be protected.
Raymond Basilio, Secretary General of the Alliance of Concerned Teachers. Thank you so much for joining us today. You keep safe. Take care.
Thank you very much.
Okay, from there, we're going to take another break. Coming up, U.S. President Joe Biden addresses a joint session of Congress for the first time as he marks 100 days in office. This and more when Dateline Philippines returns. Stay with us here on ANC.
ma'am. Pa-deliver ko na agad. Walang mabok.
Araw, kahit matindi ang init mo, ito tono ko pa ang bangunan damit ko.
Surfacon with sunblock technology para blooming ang bangunan damit under the init.
Blooming?
Surfacon, 5 pesos, SRP lang.
The latest news and information you get on radio, TV, and the internet are now in the ABS-CBN Radio Service app. Stream anytime, anywhere with BZMM Radyo Patrol. Plus different podcast content from ABS-CBN News and the ABS-CBN News Channel. Download the ABS-CBN Radio Service app now. Available on Google Play Store and Apple App Store.
Ma, kukunin namin ang Musi Bunso sa Liga.
Pero kailangan ng sporty attire. Mahal yun.
Akong bahala. Di kailangan gumastos ng mahal para makipagsabayan.
Kaso lang, madilaw.
Buti, may Surf with Active Clean na. Singgaling ng mamahalin. Magaling magpaputi, magtanggal kulog, at magpabango. 550 pa rin, pero kayang tumapat sa mamahalin. Basta wais, kayang makipagsabayan. Sir!
Boom! Papaya! White Rose Papaya! Yeah, yeah, yeah! Boom! Puti ka! In 7 days, oh yeah, yeah, yeah!
White Rose Papaya na may double whitening, papaya extracts plus whitening ng vitamin B3. Clinically proven magpaputi in as early as 7 days.
Boom! Puti ka! White Rose Papaya!
Papaya puti, papaya fast! White Rose Papaya!
Sakura!
Ang blooming na bango ng Sakura Blossom. Nasa Pride with Fabric Conditioner na. May Sakura Blooming Curls para sa labadang blooming sa linis, labadang blooming sa bango for as long as 24 hours.
Blooming ka, ha?
Uy! Blooming daw, ha?
Para sa blooming na labada, Pride, Sakura Blossom. Isakura mo na!
ACS!
Take the lead even when on the go. Keep abreast of the latest news and information with the ABS-CBN News app. Receive news alerts, audio stream DZMM, and customize your news feed. All these and more with the ABS-CBN News app. Download the ABS-CBN News app now. Available on Google Play Store and the App Store.
Ma, kukunin namin ang Musi Bunso sa Liga.
Pero kailangan ng sporty attire. Mahal yun.
Akong bahala. Di kailangan gumastos ng mahal para makipagsabayan.
Kaso lang, madilaw.
Buti, may Surf with Active Clean na. Singgaling ng mamahalin. Magaling magpaputi, magtanggal kulog, at magpabango. 550 pa rin, pero kayang tumapat sa mamahalin. Basta wais, kayang makipagsabayan. Surf!
Bawat mahi, smart dishwashing.
Smart Dishwashing Paste. May double tanggaling formula. Solid magtanggal ng heavy duty sebo sa kawalit kaldero. Solid din magtanggal ng bakterya. Kaya number one na ang Smart Dishwashing Paste.
Bawat bahay linis, solid. Smart Dishwashing.
Smart Dishwashing Paste.
Ma, kukunin namin ang Musi Bunso sa Liga.
Pero kailangan ng sporty attire. Mahal yun.
Akong bahala. Di kailangan gumastos ng mahal para makipagsabayan.
Kaso lang, madilaw.
Buti, may Surf with Active Clean na. Singgaling ng mamahalin. Magaling magpaputi, magtanggal kulog, at magpabango. 550 pa rin, pero kayang tumapat sa mamahalin. Basta wais, kayang makipagsabayan. Surf!
Back with more news. U.S. President Joe Biden addresses a joint session of the U.S. Congress for the first time as he nears 100 days in office. Biden spoke to a small group of lawmakers, officials, and guests during Wednesday's event, which was scaled back due to the pandemic. But that did not diminish the historic moment when two women, Vice President Kamala Harris and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, sat behind the president for the first time in U.S. history.
I can report to the nation, America is on the move again. After 100 days of rescue and renewal, America is ready for a takeoff, in my view. We're working again, dreaming again, discovering again, and leading the world again.
Biden used his speech to promote a $1.8 trillion plan that he said was needed to compete with China and invest in the country's future. Biden is set to meet with the top Democratic and Republican lawmakers at the White House on May 12th to find common ground on his legislative agenda. Several regions in Luzon, including the National Capital Region, suffered a double-digit GDP contraction in 2020. Our correspondent, Warren De Guzman, now joins us to break down the numbers. Warren, go ahead.
Thank you, Carmina. The 2020 9.6% contraction in the Philippine economy was the worst on record since World War II. Regional GDP data released today shows seven regions suffered the worst contractions last year. Three of those regions saw double-digit contractions. Central Luzon's regional GDP suffered the biggest contraction in the Philippines, shrinking 13.9%. It was followed by Calabarzon, which contracted 10.5%, and the National Capital Region, which contracted 10.1%. These three regions make up two-thirds of the Philippines' entire economy. National Economic and Development Authority Assistant Secretary Greg Pineda says it is the interdependence of the three major regions and also restrictions on physical movement of people which created job losses and income losses. NCR data show information and communication, finance and insurance, and public administration and defense were the only industries that grew in 2020. Pineda says this shows the digitalization experience last year was not enough to offset losses related to the pandemic. He said, we are improving in our digital transactions, but then again, still most of our transactions are done face-to-face, requiring physical presence, and services are highly dependent on this. Four other regions suffered bigger contractions than the national average, with the Cordillera Administrative Region, Cagayan Valley, and Central Visayas' GRDP all contracting 9.9%. Western Visayas suffered a 9.7% contraction. Central Visayas is the largest regional economy outside Luzon. Looking at those nine regions, or rather seven regions, five of them had the highest confirmed COVID-19 cases in 2020. NCR, Calabarzon, Central Luzon, Central Visayas, and Western Visayas. Meanwhile, the poor economic performance of CAR and Cagayan Valley mean both regions have less resources to deal with in the spike in COVID-19 cases that they are suffering this year. The PSA notes there were other contributions to the decline in 2020, including the eruption of the Taal volcano and multiple typhoons and earthquakes. However, COVID-19 is the clear catalyst for the contraction. As Pineda says, all of the worst-hit regions were interdependent, so the heavy losses they suffered together were unavoidable. Back to you, Carmina.
Thanks a lot, Warren De Guzman. They're joining us on the line. Keep safe, Warren. Take care. Moving on, the Asian Development Bank on Wednesday slashed its 2021 growth forecast for the Philippines. Now the International Monetary Fund may be following suit. The IMF's resident representative to the Philippines says the extended lockdown in the NCR Plus bubble poses a significant downside risk to its growth outlook for the country. It initially estimated a 6.9% expansion for this year. The lender adds, the current COVID situation in India may also have ramifications to the Philippines' vaccine rollout, which is crucial to its recovery.
The direct impact may be not huge. This is partly because there is a relatively smaller trade between the Philippines and India. As the virus infection surged in India, the Indian authorities have accelerated domestic vaccination. And that means there'll be fewer vaccines available for exports for countries like the Philippines.
In sports, once known as the laughingstock of the NBA, the New York Knicks are now all smiles. The Knicks continue to move closer to returning to the NBA playoffs with a 113-94 victory over the Chicago Bulls. All-star Julius Randle led New York with 34 points. It was their 10th win in their last 11 games. The Knicks improved to 35-28 as they solidify their hold on fourth place in the Eastern Conference. In Miami, the Heat gave their fellow American coach Eric Spoelstra his 600th victory. The 116-111 win came at the expense of the San Antonio Spurs. The all-star duo of Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo combined for 50 points. The two engineered Miami's 17-0 run in the second half. As for Coach Spo, he's now the 27th coach in the NBA, or in NBA history, to get 600 wins. And that'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Playback this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe, you guys. Keep it here on ANC.